吃吃吃。
Cheers.
Very high pitched. Yeah, there's the real Malcolm.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
I feel like I need to have my hands in the air.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta raise them in the air and throw them around like you just don't care. Yeah. And that's what they do.
Yep.
That is a good show.
It's entertaining. It's lively.
Wendy Williams.
No, there's no... It's Wendy Williams.
She's bringing it, man.
She's very popular.
She reminds me of the dude. What was the cross-dresser?
RuPaul.
RuPaul, yeah. Doesn't she?
Really?
Kind of.
I mean, she's a big lady, you know, but she's not fat. She's like,
I'm not saying she's fat. She's just, RuPaul was muscular.
RuPaul was skinny.
I think he dropped weight.
They all do.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
It's so good. Yeah, you have to practice.
That's what you got to do. Let's just start this thing.
Do it.
Do it. Do it like you do it, like you done it. Maryam Tazi in the house.
I'm not
ready
Riddle.
To laugh. Listen to her.
I'm always ready to laugh.
She's ready.
And Malcolm Riddle.
You said that. I heard you the first
time. Yeah, you talked over me, though. So it's like you don't want me to introduce you.
Introduce and get loose. I got juice, people. Welcome to another episode. That's right. Sitting in the studio, chilling. Coming off the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Everyone ate turkey and cranberry.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, gotta have the mashed potatoes.
Gravy.
It's a must. There's a few things I look forward to, and one of them is gravy. I do. I enjoy gravy. If you don't have
gravy... It's gotta be authentic gravy, though. Like, really from the meats and, like, the juices and all that. You're like, what kind of gravy do you like?
It doesn't... As long as it's gravy.
The powdered
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, that's fine.
Ah.
If you make it right, you can't tell.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, if you know what you're doing. Because you can add things. Spices.
Yeah, I do that too, but I don't know. It just doesn't
you
have
just,
the same...
But still, some gravy's better than no gravy.
Flavor. Needs more depth of flavor.
Some gravy is better than no gravy. I've been to several, I might as well just hang myself, but I've been to a couple Thanksgiving dinners I was invited to, and they had no gravy or mashed potatoes.
That's weird.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, that's definitely something missing.
It's bizarre, trust me.
So what do they have instead of that?
I was dating this chick one time, and I went to meet the parents. And I went to the house and no, there's no mashed potatoes or gravy. And I was frantically looking around on the counters.
Hoping that they just like had it heated.
I thought maybe it was an oversight or yeah, maybe they had it like
someone's
in the dish.
Bring it.
Never came out.
Aww.
Deal breaker. Yeah, it wasn't too long. You got to have it. I mean, that says a lot.
Deal breaker, huh?
Well, it says a lot about the family.
What does it say
unit?
About the family and the family unit not having mashed potatoes and gravy?
You're missing. It's missing something. That is a serious ingredient to miss. You know what I mean?
Here, I'm talking about it like it's the turkey. Some people don't do turkey for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's sacrilege. Mm. It's a smack
in
the game.
Turkey's overrated.
It's a smack in the face of the game.
Turkey's overrated.
Yeah, but you're not going to eat turkey every day. You don't have turkey.
You will for a while if you make the turkey for Thanksgiving. You're going to eat it for like a month.
Kind of, sort of, but, you know. I like a nice hot turkey dinner with gravy and mashed potatoes. Yams. I like.
Is that ham and yams?
Right. Yeah, sometimes you do have ham. Sometimes you have an assortment of
yeah.
meats.
Yeah.
Flavors and stuff like that. You got to have.
I like lamb.
Got to have it. You got to have the turkey and or you can have the ham. Yeah, or lamb. Or all.
That's a lot, but yeah, that'd be nice.
There's certain basic things. You got to have a pie in there too. You got to have green beans. Got to, you know, yeah, you can overlook some things. Like some things you have in rotation every year. But, yeah.
You're very particular about your Thanksgiving meal.
Well, as long as you have the gravy and the mashed potatoes.
You don't care about the rest.
We're good. Trust me, I can work around everything else. I can work around your crazy inventions of whatever you put in stuffing or if you...
Mac and cheese and stuff. And
yeah, different people make different styles of mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
people are serious about their mac and cheese too, though.
This year, my mom went with just a basic macaroni and cheese. She didn't do the homemade style where she layers it with different cheeses. So yeah, I can give her a pass on certain items. You have to, you know, sometimes they're just not feeling it the day before or whatever they're prepping. But as long as you get the, you know, the the unit, the core, the essence, everything that makes it up, the turkey, the gravy, and the mashed potatoes. As long as you don't fuck those up. Even if you fuck up the turkey, as long as you got the gravy and mashed potatoes, you can put that on top.
Douse it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can juice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because turkey's going to be dry anyway. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's why it's overrated. Like, I'm just not a big fan of...
It is what it is.
Dry meat, but the stuff you brought me was delicious.
Yeah, you had to experience it. You had to get some. Get some turkey and some meat. That's right. Get the bone. You got to get it. Yeah, I hung out. Justin, my son, he hung out with me. We started off with, you got to watch holiday movies. So, of course, I'm kind of behind. I watch Elf. We watch Elf with Will Ferrell.
That's always a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And now my son's older, so there's certain parts he'll laugh at that he may have overlooked before. So we're kind of on the same page.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great, actually. Elf is funny. We just picked it apart. Such a funny movie.
It's quite hilarious. There's a lot of parts.
And then you had, we watched Hitch. I don't know how Hitch has become a holiday favorite, but they seem to play it enough on television.
It's on a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, Hitch with Will Smith. And what's the other cat's name that's in it?
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin Smith? No, not Kevin Smith. Kevin. I forgot his last name. I'm horrible.
Yeah, what is his name? Let's take it to the internet.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like watching that movie, too. So we watched a double feature of Hitch and what was it? Elf. A little slow here, people, but I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving Day holiday, and you guys are out there on Black Friday shopping and running around and doing what they programmed you to do, because that's what they're knowing, people. They're programming you. So you're out there mixing it up.
Kevin James.
Yeah, Kevin James. He was from King of Queens. Mm-hmm. Funny guy. Yeah. Really funny guy. Mm. And, yeah, so we watched that, and we had dinner, and we had, like, my brother, his family, all his children running around crying, screaming, coughing, sneezing, doing all the stuff that children do. So I just kind of tune them out and eat my, keep my face planted in my plate, looking down, or I look straight ahead, and, yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
Family.
It's too much noise for me, but it's good. It's fun. They like it.
It's something to do once a year or twice a year.
Your kids like it. They don't know what's going on. There's all sorts of food and
there's something
cranberry
in the air.
Stuff they can put their hands in. And when they're at that age where they just want to tip stuff upside down and mix it all together, it's quite the thing. But yeah, Thanksgiving is it's a time to be thankful, I guess. I mean, you have to be thankful if you think about it, because. When you reflect on the year, you kind of look back, you turn the pages of the year and, give it a nod because, in a split second, things could change or it could be worse. Things could get better. I don't know. You just have to look at things in the light that's given. And especially like the other day, I told you, I haven't told the audience that I was in an almost fatal car accident.
Oh, yeah.
So I even thought about it yesterday. I thought about it a little bit today. And definitely when I'm driving, the other day I was driving from work and it was raining very hard, like super hard. It was like no other day.
It's kind of like sleet, though, too. It wasn't just rain. I feel like it was freezing rain.
Who knows what it was, but it was raining just like any. So I didn't think anything of it. I'm just driving. No big deal. I get the music blasting. I was listening to Barry White. I remember that. I was listening to Barry White. What is it? What is it? You're the first or you're the last? What is it? My everything. It was dun 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 dun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
it
that song will never be the same now.
No, I don't associate stuff like that. No. That's the beauty of me in my mind. But anyway, I'm driving and listening to Barry White, and Barry White's playing, and it's raining. Whatever. And this is when I guess when stuff happens, it's just like a freak accident. And the car's driving, and the back tail end of my truck
fishtails, which means it kind of swayed a little bit. And now I realized it because I was thinking about it when I was driving, I think yesterday. It fishtailed to the left the first time. And then when I tried to straighten it back out, it fishtailed to the right very fast and went sideways. And I'm going, I wasn't speeding or anything. I was doing like 55, 60 miles an hour. And when it fishtailed to the right, first thing I did was kind of check my mirrors to make sure no one was behind me or close, because I knew that I was losing control. And so when it fishtailed to the right, you know, I tried to straighten it out again, checking the mirrors, no one was there. And I was like, whoa, this is going down, you know. And then, you know, my main thing was trying to straighten it back out and get it back on track.
Yeah.
Because everything in your mind is going super fast. I mean, it's just.
But didn't you say you were like calm through it out?
Yeah, yeah. But you're just, I'm just trying to straighten the fucking car out. Just like get it together. And once it fishtails to the right again, and I try to straighten it, the wheel back out, it swings back around, it lines up straight, but then the velocity of it spins it to the left super hard. At that point, I knew. I was like, this is out of control. I mean, it's going to spin. And it whips back around on the left. And all along, you know, I'm on a two-lane road. And like I said, thankfully, there was no one, you know, on either side, in front or behind me. Because had there been, I would have smacked them. And it was going at such a high rate of speed. Everything was just going down. So it swung back around to the left, and then it went sideways and was just going straight sideways and was spinning all the way. And I was coming to a red light, an intersection where I saw multiple cars. And the whole time I'm doing this, yes, I'm calm, I'm cool, Barry White is playing. And the whole time it's going, and I'm thinking it's going to spin in a circle, but it's just on its side almost, and I'm waiting for it to tip at that point. I'm like, this is going to flip. It's not going to end up. But I'm still looking for other people. So I'm calm, and I'm thinking about other people more than myself. And I'm solid. Like, I'm not nervous or afraid. It's amazing because there was no fear. I accepted what was going down. Like, my mind and my body was at peace, and I was just like, well, you know, if it happens, it goes out this way, so be it. It wasn't any. I think I might have thought, like, what am I going to do if it flips? Like, how am I going to position myself? I had my seatbelt on and everything. And like I said, Barry White. I had Barry White, my seatbelt, and everything.
So you felt safe?
I was pretty calm. And then somehow, some way, it just came to a stop. Jeez. You know? There's nothing you can do at that point. I mean, the brakes didn't work. Nothing. You could feel. I tapped the brakes.
I was going to say, you just have to let go of everything.
I tapped the. Yeah, it's a miracle because. Had I done something different or something wrong, or if there was a dry patch in the road, I think that would have caused the car to flip. But the fact that there was so much water and rain, and you know, maybe there was ice or something like that, it just spun and slid, and then came to a complete stop. And I'm in the middle of the intersection, and the other cars are looking like, "Whoa!" And everyone it was almost as if, and I said this before. Talking to you is if someone was spinning a top, like, you know, how you spin a top or a quarter and they spin it, and it was just out of control spinning until it came to a stop. And someone was protecting everyone around in that area. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing that there were no cars around, or that light didn't turn green and people were driving through it. It was as if everything else stopped. It was like one of those movies where you're in the movie and you're still moving, but everyone else is frozen. And so when I stopped, the car had turned off. You know, I sat there maybe, I don't know, 3 to 5 seconds. And I just took a deep breath and I looked around just barely, just kind of looked around and collected my thoughts and said, let me start this car up. And I started the car up. It started up, no problem. And I drove maybe 10, 15 feet through the stoplight to get out of the middle of the intersection and pulled over to the side of the road. And just I sat there for maybe 2 or 3 seconds and said, let me get out of the car to make sure the axle's not bent or anything like that. Because it was like on its side going straight. I mean, it was spinning at such a high rate and all that pressure. Because it felt like you were on a roller. You know when you're on a roller coaster or something that's spinning and you feel that force.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you have no control. So it felt like you were on one of those roller coasters or in an amusement park where, you know, you don't have any control. You just, you know, you're on, you're in there for the ride.
Yeah. I just don't know if I'd be calm.
No, I got out. I looked at the tires real quick. It was raining. I was like, ah, looks good. Drove about 40 miles home, 40 miles an hour home, slowly on the highway. Yeah.
Yeah, and I could barely see on the road, too. It was a bad
night. I was a little bit more aware and careful because I was, you know, just like, whoa. And then it starts sinking in maybe a few minutes after that, 20 minutes after that, an hour after that. Because you know it could have went the other way. Yeah. Like, you could have been driving.
Completely.
You could have been driving and, it, you know, you flip your car and you're dead and that's it. You know, couple days before Thanksgiving, or just any day. It doesn't have to be, you know, any day. There are people that things like that freak accidents happen, and then that's it. Game over.
Yeah.
The person's off the earth. You know, all the stuff that you've worried about. You could be worried about work, getting a promotion, school, tests coming up, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, all the little stuff out there that you think matters, all that goes away in that split second. It really doesn't matter. And even after the fact, you know, if you're stressing over your house, your rent, bills, you want a new car, you know, you want, you know, a new suit, new anything, the stuff, the trivial stuff, it just kind of goes away and you just look at things because you know how close you've come.
Yeah.
You came to, you know, losing it. And so I thought about that after, and still do. I thought, you know, when I was in the car yesterday driving, I was thinking about it, just like in a split second, the whole game can change. And then you don't have, you know, you have no say so in the matter.
No.
It's, you're just done. That's it. It's done. And then you have, you know, you don't have to deal with shit, but, you know, your family and friends would have to, you know, mourn the loss. And then what did it all matter? So that's, I think, you know, moving forward and coming away from that. And believe me, I'm not even, if anything, I'm downplaying the story. I'm not even.
You're talking about it very calmly.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating the seriousness or the power of that. I guess you can call it an accident, but
experience.
Yeah, the experience, because I've seen car accidents. I've been in car accidents, and you know, it's bizarre that there was no, at that time, and there's always traffic on this particular road. It's a road in Northern Virginia called the Fairfax County Parkway, and it's always people driving on side by side with you. And even moments leading up to it, there were a couple cars in front of me and behind me. And, you know, I remember seeing the cars behind me and then they disappeared. And then the guys or the people in front of me, for some reason, they sped up to like 70 or 80 miles an hour. And they were like way ahead of me. Hmm. It was just kind of weird to see someone do like 70 or 80 on the parkway.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
especially in the rain and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they just disappeared. I'm telling you, it was as if someone cleared out
room. Yeah. Made room.
It was as if someone cleared out the,
that's weird,
the game board, and it was on. And yeah. So yeah, you just can't take stuff for granted, and you definitely can't put that type of pressure on you where you're always worrying about stuff that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when it's time for you to move on in life, through life, you don't have, you know, you have very little control.
Yeah, but that was not your time.
Yeah, you have very little control over, yeah, you know, anything that's going to happen. The stuff that you can control, I don't think you should really worry about to the point where
we usually worry.
Yeah, the way you're pulling your hair out, or you're making drastic decisions, and, you know, you're just not thinking clearly, getting rest. So I think that anyone that's listening should, you know, shit could get worse. You know, shit can change in a blink of an eye, and that's it. You know what I mean? You have to be thankful. So, you know, I had time to reflect on that, and still am. So I'm thankful.
So are we.
To still be present, and the podcast is still going, and you guys are still listening, and Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's next. Not the first time that I've had near-death experiences, but the older you get,
makes you reflect more. You think?
Yeah.
Well, you feel, you don't feel as invincible as you do when you're younger, especially in like the adolescent years.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can handle anything. Nothing bad will happen to me. That changes very fast when you get older.
Well, that, and sometimes it may not be you. It may be somebody next to you driving that's texting or doing something or drunk.
That's what worries me more. You know what I mean? Other people drive in the weather. They get scared. They just forget how to drive altogether. It's kind of weird.
Driving itself is a task. So definitely be careful out there this holiday season, people, because it can, you know, it can impact your life and others around you, the decisions that you make. Like sometimes if it's raining or if it's snowing or whatever, you don't really have to go, you know, slow it down. But in this case, like I said, it was the norm. I wasn't really speeding or doing anything out of the norm. Just driving the same,
safe driver.
Driving the same route I usually take. But, you know, there's something else. You know, like I said, it could be, I knew I'm due for new tires, and that could have played a role in it. I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, that's another thing. You know, you don't put off, you know what I mean? Don't put off your priorities of, you know, inspecting your car and making sure, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'll wait till next month, or I'll wait till, you know, yeah, but still, when it, if you travel, it doesn't matter. If you're in a car and you have to commute, and especially if you're in a state like Virginia, I know California's like this too, where it's, you have to have a car to get around. Just, you want to make sure that the basics are safe.
Yeah.
You know, the basics are safe. You have, you know, the right, I can't talk. Safety elements. Safety. You guys know what I'm talking about. Jesus.
You're just like splurting words now. Like they can make the sentence out of that.
Yeah. It didn't
they can
make,
put two and two together.
Didn't make sense at all.
I think they got it.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Speaking of safety, I need to get my brakes checked out.
Got to get them checked out. Check your stuff out, people, or else you may pay the costs. So, yeah, after that, I was kind of in chill mode.
Smart.
Chill mode. Had to relax and
you deserve
get my
some time.
Yeah, get myself together. Try to make it happen. Watch happy movies like Pitch Perfect.
You made me watch it too.
Yeah, people. I watched this movie. I guess you could call it a chick flick.
Kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a chick flick.
Kind of has a chick flick feel.
Called Pitch Perfect, starring Anna Kendrick. And I don't even know how I got on that note. I mean, I don't know if I was searching. Let's see. I don't know what I was doing. But it's a film that came out, I think, a few years ago. Well, yeah, a couple of years. Last year. Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. It's on HBO still.
Yep. Pitch Perfect, directed by Jason Moore, starring Anna Kendrick, which I like her. I think she's cute. I like the way, I like how she carries herself on and somewhat off film. I say that just because I don't know her personally, but I do follow her on Twitter. You can tell a lot about, well, it could be her assistant tweeting that.
Right.
Yeah, so you never know. But she was in a couple films I liked. She was in Up in the Air with George Clooney, which I'm very fond of, that film and George Clooney. But Pitch Perfect, somehow I got roped into it. I don't know if I was channel surfing or what. Maybe it was the same person that intervened in my car accident, intervened in my viewing of that day, and I watched the film and just found it delightful. Just that's the only way I could put it. It's
not what I expected to hear from you.
Yeah, because I wouldn't watch this film.
Delightful.
Yeah, I would not watch this film, and I tried to hate this film. Watching it, I was like, man, this is ridiculous. A whole school, or a part of a school that sings a cappella, and it's like Glee. It's like Glee Club. I still can't wrap my head around that this exists, where they take songs and they just sing, cover various songs, and they just sing. And these jokers are running around, jumping and dancing. And the
everywhere.
Dudes, the dudes are super happy and cheerful. Their faces are just lit up with joy. But how can I hate that? Seriously.
Yeah.
How can I hate something like that? And I tried. I kept looking at it. Ah, they're too happy. What generation? They must be. This isn't fake. I kept making excuses. Ah, it's not enough black people. Then there'd be a black person. And there'd be a, you know, someone from India. You know, they got everything. It's as if they covered all the bases. So even the hater of haters, the king of hatred, can't hate this movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they were almost hating on each other.
And I'm a hater.
Yeah.
You know, I am a straight hater when it comes to hate. And I want to hate their movie so badly I wanted to hate it. But I just found myself watching it and glued and just feeling happy and tapping my feet and pointing my fingers the whole time watching this film. And yeah, it made me very happy. It was very delightful. And just it's almost like drinking, you know, a very zesty, zippy, sparkling wine or something. Mm. Like, you know, I don't drink these.
It's really refreshing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Moscato d'Asti of movies. You know what I mean?
Just a porch drinker.
Yeah,
let's open this up on the porch.
That's right. Yeah, it'll brighten your day.
You said if people don't like this, that what is it? You're just...
If you don't like this movie, you're just bitter.
Yeah.
You're just... You just need to be just... We need to send you to the desert or somewhere. Send you to the dark side of the moon. Your heart is just cold as ice.
Cold, blooded if you don't like this.
Yeah. And I believe me, people, I know I might lose some cred with some of you guys for even putting this on the podcast, on the internet.
I'm surprised you brought it up.
Had to. Because if you're looking for that feel-good movie of the holiday, this just might be it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Elf is still my man. But at the same time, this just makes me want to do jazz hands. You know, I just want to do jazz hands and watch it and cheer for them at the end. And, you know, the girls, all of them, they do a good job. I mean, Anna Kendrick plays Becca. And she's like a college student. She doesn't want to be in college. She wants to be a DJ, and she's pissed. Her dad is a professor at the college where she's at. And she's like, look, you got a free ride. You're getting free
education. Everything.
Yeah, free education. Give it a chance. And he goes, you know, pick some club to belong to. In
be
there.
Active.
You know, yeah, be active. And if you don't like it, then you can quit, and I'll send you to L.A. so you can pursue your dream of being a DJ. And she stumbled upon, I guess it's the Glee Club.
I don't know if it's actually called the Glee Club there, but yeah, the
singing clubs,
whatever.
Yeah, singing and dancing. A lot of people light on their feet, jumping around, and just I don't know. Somehow it roped. Could have been a car accident. Maybe I hit my head, people.
Well.
But yeah, it roped me in, and I don't know. I'm sold on it. Yeah, it just sold me.
I don't know if I loved it, but I thought it was funny.
I adore
and cute.
It was
delightful.
Yeah, it was what I needed, I think. And these girls were, and they're just, you know, like I said, I looked for reasons to dislike it, but they put their spin on a lot of hits, a lot of songs, a lot of, you know, musicians that have had number one hits, and they put their own spin on it, where it's just a cappella, and it's just kind of fun to see that. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just trying to, you know, have a good time and pursue their dream. And,
that's fine.
You know,
I don't have a problem with that.
But believe me, I did go after it, and I was trying to dissect it, and I couldn't. A, because everyone in there was just cute as a button, you know. They're just young college girls in tight clothes, a lot of boobs, a lot of flesh, long legs. You know, it was all the elements that I need, you know. I need, you know. And even the guys were just super friendly and just chipper.
They're kind of dweeby.
Mm-hmm. Thin, you know. They were just, I don't know what that has to do with it, but just, I don't know, man. How can you be mad at a hobbit? It's like looking at a hobbit or a smurf. You know, how can you hate a smurf? You know, if you hate a smurf, there's something wrong with you.
I don't hate the smurfs.
You know, you hate a chia pet or a
chia pets are not that great.
Yeah,
kind of weird looking.
But you got to look at it, you know. You pour the water on it and it cha-cha-cha-chia. Cha-cha-cha-chia. You gotta like that stuff. Just,
I guess.
It's just little stuff to bring some joy to your life.
You got soft.
You know, yeah. Lost my edge.
You got kind of soft all of a sudden. Yeah.
What type of movie is this? People? I'm not going to go on about it. I think I spent enough time on Pitch Perfect. But yeah. Chances are your girlfriend or someone that you know or someone you're trying to pursue or ask out, you want them to come over or something like that. You know, get some wine, sit back, put Pitch Perfect on. I bet you'll have a successful night. I bet you will. Trust me. You know what I mean? Some of you guys that are in relationships right now, you're on the outs a little bit, you know. Ain't been, you know.
Honey, let's watch Pitch Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, haven't you?
He loves me. That's He's right. taking the time out to spend time and watch a movie that I like.
Yeah. He understands me. He connects.
He's sensitive.
Yep. Yeah, he watched the whole movie. But I guarantee.
He's attentive.
Yeah. You'll get some points, people. Just sit back and watch. And there's a few songs in there that I think you'll like. So.
No diggity.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That's right, Guy. Backstreet. Isn't that it?
I don't.
Something like that? Guy, right? Is it Guy?
No, I think it's Blackstreet.
Blackstreet. That's what That's right, because it was Teddy Riley, right?
Oh, that's right. They did make another group after that. That's true.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I get my 90s mixed up.
Well.
A lot of 90s stuff in there and 80s songs.
Yes, they were older. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Sheep.
Yeah, so that's
Black Street, Black Sheep.
That's it, different. People. Is this a sign? Is this it? Have I lost my edge?
I hope not.
Am I slipping? Send me an email. Tweet me. Twitter me, whatever it's called.
Tweet.
You know, hit me up on Facebook. Let me know if I've give me some feedback when you see me. If I lost my edge. But you're gonna have to watch the film, all right? You're going to have to watch the film before you give me feedback. Don't just base it on it being a chick flick and then, you know, commence to dropping the hammer on me, you know, because I'm going to, the same way you're judging me right now, I'm going to judge you if you've watched it and for some reason you don't like it.
You're a bitter, bitter person.
Yeah. Your heart is filled with coal. You know what I mean? That's right. So that's that. What else is up? I think it was a couple things I wanted to.
What's that?
To talk about. I recently watched Eddie Murphy on Arsenio. Arsenio, of course, we've talked about him once or twice on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Glad he's back. He's on TV. You know what I mean? Back is the new black or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Back is the new black. Whatever that means. But he's back. I've said that 3 or 4 times right now, people. Arsenio is back.
Just a reminder.
So he's on, and he's been doing... I watch him here and there. Not a whole lot. I'm not super committed, but I missed when Eddie Murphy... I guess Eddie Murphy did the whole show.
Oh, okay.
He was the only guest.
Okay, yeah. I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
And it's a weird thing because Eddie Murphy... I mean, he's part of pop culture.
Yeah.
He's been since the 80s.
Yeah.
You know? But if you were born in the 80s or 90s, you know him for certain films.
Yeah, a different...
And you look at him in a different light, you know? When I think of Eddie Murphy, I think of stand-up comedian Eddie Murphy.
Me too.
I think of Raw, Delirious.
Mm-hmm. The leather jumpsuits.
Yeah, and and of course...
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, film-wise... Thank you, Mariam Tazi. I think of 48 Hours, Trading Places, The Golden Child.
Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie's done he's done films that he doesn't have to make any more movies.
Yeah.
You know?
He has his repertoire of film.
Yeah. And even Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2, you could forgive him for Beverly Hills Cop 3, but he did Coming to America. What else has he done? Of course, he's done Shrek. He's known for his part in Shrek.
Yeah, but that's like his later part of his career.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people
know
him. They know him from Shrek, Norbit. They know him from I guess he did. He tried his hand in a couple serious roles, like in Dreamgirls.
Oh yeah,
the Daddy Daycare, and of course he's just been crucified for the Pluto Nash, and you know the list goes on. Dr. Doolittle and all that stuff, Bowfinger. So it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on to the break of dawn.
Yeah,
he's got a history. I mean, he does. A lot of movies, and people see him in different lights. But the thing about the man is he's so talented. So talented. I mean, I think people either, A, some still recognize his level of talent, or they've forgotten how talented he is, and or they don't know because, you know, Pluto Nash and, you know... Because
they don't have the right reference.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm just looking at his IMDb, and...
There's a lot there. Just keep scrolling.
Oh, he did Boomerang, scrolling. You know?
Scrolling.
I mean, Coming to America.
He has a large repertoire.
Yeah.
Whew. Are you okay?
So my point is, the man is so talented, and to sit and watch him on Arsenio, he has more talent in his pinky than most people have, period, you know, in their whole mind, body, and soul. Most of the stuff that's being produced on television and film, it doesn't even it doesn't shine the way he does in that interview. Like, you can see it. You have to watch it. You haven't watched it?
I only watched the beginning of it.
Yeah. So you need to invest. Take time. Just look it up online, Eddie Murphy on Eddie Murphy Arsenio Hall Show, and it'll come up. You can find it on YouTube, but... Again, if you don't know Eddie Murphy, maybe you don't see that. Maybe you don't really understand.
Or appreciate it the same
way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But for those of us that grew up with Eddie, and I'm talking about I grew up with Eddie in the 80s, like I think when the Walkman was introduced. When did the Walkman come out?
Around
I remember 80s. When the Walkman came out, there was an Eddie Murphy
album. I mean,
album,
I didn't get mine until the 90s. But.
And... it was Eddie Murphy and Rick James, and it was Rick James's cassette tape that I had, and I used to play that all the time when the Walkman came out. I remember, I had a Walkman, and I'm pretty sure it was like a imitation Walkman or some sort, and I had like a members only maroon jacket.
79.
Yeah, I had a members only maroon jacket that I used to wear, and an afro. Yeah, I had an afro, and kids used to call me Lamont from Fred Sanford.
Really?
Yeah, because I had an afro. I used to look at myself and be like, do I look like Lamont?
No.
Not realizing that they just didn't have any. Yeah, the white kids in the neighborhood didn't have any point of reference of what an afro was, so the only thing that was on television was Sanford and Son, so that's, you're Lamont.
That's
and
weird.
I thought mustache... I was looking at Lamont for who Lamont was.
Yeah, that's weird.
Not Lamont. What are you talking about? Malcolm.
Yeah.
Got a members only jacket and a Walkman. What the hell are you guys talking about?
Oh, God.
Mm, yeah, my childhood people.
Tough life. It's so weird. I'm looking at these old pictures of Walkmans, like the old school ones.
Yeah, they were huge. Yeah. And they had like the, yeah. Look at that. That's vintage.
Yeah. Breakthrough technology of affordable portable stereo.
But mine wasn't that one. Like, that's the one that I wanted, the Sony Walkman. Mine was a Walkman type device. And it was like a stainless steel looking device, and it had the headphones. You know the headphones, it's not like one bar, it's like a few. A few, like, I don't know, bars, so you could adjust them. That was it. And you put it in, you put your cassette tape in.
Good old
you'd hook
days.
It to your belt.
Yep.
You'd be out. You have your tapes with you. I mean, that was technology.
I think I had this one.
That was technology. Yeah, mine was like that. Let me see that. Yeah.
And they became the waterproof ones, came later, the sports ones. They became pretty
It's amazing when you look at technology.
Development.
Just the overall It was nothing there. It just brings back memories. Mine looked like this one. All day and day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like that. And I was just as happy.
The antennas, like on the side.
Yeah, but I think mine even had a radio on it, though.
Oh, that's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's radio. That might be radio.
Probably. Yeah. So, back in the day, Eddie Murphy, back in the day, people used to release albums and CDs. Now they release comedy specials. You'll see it on Comedy Central.
Netflix,
iTunes.
Yeah, HBO.
I mean, the comedians now are so savvy, which is why I like this era, is because you have so many outlets now that you can release your material. Mm-hmm. Just about every comedian has a podcast, and they're constantly working on their material. They're saying it, and then when you go see them on stage, it is a reflection of their podcast.
What worked?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. And you can do it. I mean, you can just go through and pick through certain lines that you said on your podcast because it's all there. It's recorded, and then you write them down. And you can put them into stand-up form. So, whereas before, you would have to have a record deal. And, you know, with that record deal, you would have to, produce an album where it would have to get distributed through different channels. I mean, think about that. Now you can just pick up your field recorder and a mic.
To be able to meet somebody who has that kind of connection to, you know, like all the work that you bypass by having all this technology. It's pretty incredible. So what are you looking up?
No, I'm still talking. I'm listening to you. I get... it's hard for me to do a lot of things at once, man. But to your point, yeah, now you have the technology and the ability to produce. You can produce anything. Like this podcast itself in 79, in 84, shit, in 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, it goes on. You wouldn't be able to produce it without, you know, tens of thousands of dollars,
yeah,
if not more.
It's crazy.
To do a radio show. I used to work for my old man, and we would do radio spots for various organizations and politicians and stuff. And I remember like the tens of thousands of dollars it would take to just produce them. And the tens of thousands of dollars you would get paid for producing them. Now you can just put it up, get your information out there, put it on the web, put it on Facebook, tweet it, put it on iTunes. And you're your own distribution channel. But back to the Eddie Murphy talk, the albums I would get, you know, in cassette form or on a record, we'd just listen to over and over and over again. Yeah, that's one I used to listen to right there. Is Eddie Murphy's first album released in 1982. I mean, how many people what is that, a rose or something like that? You know, he's got a bow tie. This motherfucker. Here.
I was wondering what that little speckle of red was.
My internet connection. Let me see if I can get it. His album, his first album released in 1982. And I guess it's just entitled Eddie Murphy. So in this album, on the album cover, Eddie Murphy just has a shirt that's... chest is exposed, and he's got a looks like a prefab bow tie on his bearskin chest, and he's got a carnation or a rose in his right ear, and he's got a big smile with almost a Hitler mustache, or is it a mustache, like a thin mustache? I don't know. Yeah, it's just this thin mustache. It's a shadow, it looks like. Yeah. But the point is, I mean, A, you couldn't get away with looking like that these days. And B, you better be super talented. You know what I mean? You better have some serious jokes.
You have to pull that off.
Yeah, pull that look off. And for me to buy that album and open it up and listen to it. But it's a funny-ass album. And, you know... People weren't doing it then. Like, there was no... When I tell people these days that Darwin was on, the fashion guru. Darwin, that's how I labeled him. He's a guru. Nice. From the last podcast, you know, he was talking about his upbringing and how there was, no video games and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't understand. My childhood was the exact same. There was nothing out there.
Yep.
There was nothing. Zip. Didn't exist. So when the Walkman came, or even a record came that was something that wasn't, you know, the Four Tops or Michael Jackson or whatever, you know, band that you listen to, if it was a comedian, everyone would flock to it because it was so different and so new, you know? I mean, they existed before. Like I said earlier when we were talking, we had Rudy Ray Moore and Red Fox and stuff like that. And whenever I heard someone older, an old person, you know, saying, you know,
dirty
a lot
jokes.
Of, yeah, I always thought it was bizarre because I thought old people were supposed to be like pure and like my grandmother. You know what I mean? I didn't know anything about that, but little, you know.
Now you know better. They're all bitter. Not all of them, but.
Yeah. They're jaded.
They've been through it all. Yeah.
Yeah. They've walked where you're trying to go. And, but to have some way to put it out, you know, to actually press a record. I mean, I could only imagine. I mean, I do know because I lived it and I've tried to do it back in the day, tried to produce albums and stuff like that. And it got to the point in the early 90s where I just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to so wait hard. Until technology comes around and I figure this thing out. I'm dead serious. But in a way, that wasn't smart. I wish I would have just kept on the same road and kept, because I would have, if you're listening to this and you're a musician or an artist of any type, you know, writer, poet, painter, musician, anything. You stick with it. The longer you stick with it, the payoff will come. You just have to have that patience and perseverance.
Yeah.
If you deviate from that, you get jobs.
And, very hard to get back
on track. Yeah, you don't. That's why people always, you know, look back and
regret.
Yeah. So in my case, I get frustrated in the 90s. And I know I'm going way off the subject here, people. We're talking about Eddie Murphy. Now we're talking about me.
It's your show. You can talk about yourself all you want.
But I wish I would have stuck with it because I think I'd be I'd be a different person in a different place. And we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast. But at the same time, you need to stick with it. And that's what I tell artists when I meet them. You know, I always tell them to stick with it and just keep doing it. And it's going to take you 10, 15 years before you start seeing any movement. Yeah. Now, you say that to a 18-year-old, that seems like an eternity.
Forever.
Yeah, or a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
It seems like forever, but it isn't, people. It goes by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And in a blink of an eye, this thing could be over. So you have to do what you love. And Eddie is one of those people that's always done, you know, what he loves. And so much to the point where, I mean, back in the day, and I'm getting back on track.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Eddie Murphy, it was just so rare, you know, to have something and it was someone young and you could identify mm-hmm. with and listen. And it was just such a new time. You're talking 1982. It was a time where if you were lucky, your school had a computer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not a room full.
Just
one for
the whole school.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when a computer first came into the school, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me and this Indian dude, and this Indian dude was like super smart, go figure, and his name was Chenille, and Chenille was, he was my good buddy, and he was super smart, and he would teach me and talk to me about computers and how it was going to change the world and stuff like that. I mean, he's probably sitting on top of a mountain laughing right now, but I love that guy. And he was telling me stuff, but I couldn't understand it, you know. A lot of numbers,
too early.
A lot of things. Zeros, there was always a ones. Line to get into the computer lab. It was a lab.
We had one in the,
you know,
library.
I mean?
It was like the library.
One fucking computer. Yeah. Now everyone's got one on their phone. Everyone's got an iPad, you know what I mean?
I mean,
weddings.
There's still some people that are impressed with having, you know, internet on their phone. My dad.
Yeah, old people.
He's just got into like that magic. World, and he's very excited. Miriam, I have 3G. Yeah,
it's like
I have
magic.
Internet on my phone. I was like, that's great.
Yeah, it's like, you know, an introduction of the Model T Ford. You know, you're in a horse and buggy for so long, and what is this contraption? The steamboat. You know, no more sales. But it's funny when you live through that because I enjoy it because I don't take it for granted, you know.
You seem to adapt really well to that stuff. I mean, you kind of flock towards that. Some people, I was very anti cell phone anti-technology in the beginning.
Oh, the only reason I got a cell phone was because my son was born, 2001.
That's when you got your first
phone?
No,
no, I had phones prior to. I experimented with them and had them and stuff like that, but I'd got rid of them for a long time, just reverted back to a pager.
Yeah, I had a beeper too.
And I remember friends of mine, they tried to track you down and they'd have to page you or they just wouldn't get you until I got home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Check the voicemail on your phone. Like, remember the
voice? Or your family be like, yo, who called?
Yeah, yeah.
But if they give you the message.
But they used to have the message machines that you would hook up
with
to your
tape.
Phone. But what was really big was when you, the phone service company, the message would stay on your phone. So when you pick your phone up, you go, do, 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 do.
Yeah, and you'd have to put in a code and then you'd be able to listen to your voice.
You have X amount of voice messages. So you get home. So if you were gone all day, you know, people couldn't track, you know, they no idea where you were at. Oh, yeah, I was at work. Or, you know, I went to the gym. Oh, yeah, I stopped at the magazine store or something. So you couldn't track me down. I remember that my son, when his mom was pregnant, she was like, you got to get a phone, man. You know. If I got to get in contact with you or something. And I kept pushing off. I was like, you know, got my beeper.
It's not the same.
No, that's what she said. So that's when I committed to... the phone number, the phone that I have to this day. Well, not the exact phone.
It's not the same phone.
That's what, when I entered into technology and all that stuff. But even growing up, like I said, back in the late 70s and 80s, from Eddie Murphy to the Walkman. I remember from the Walkman.
Discman.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to go to the gym with the Discman. Big ass CD on the side of my hip. I never liked that, so it would always fall.
CD they would always skip. They would say this one doesn't skip, and you're like, if you're running on a treadmill with it, it's gonna skip no matter what.
Yeah,
it's a freaking.
I never liked that device at all. You know.
I mean, I had one.
I did too. I told you I was in the gym using it.
I still have one, probably.
And then, even in high school. And stuff like that. I mean, just turntables and microphones and stuff like that. But it's funny to watch technology and watch it develop. Because and again, back on Eddie Murphy. Mm. Don't worry, Eddie, if you're listening, which I know you're not.
No.
But if you're listening, watching you on the Arsenio Hall show, Eddie even brought it up, and he was like, "Yeah, they showed a picture of Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall
back in the day."
Yeah, coming to America, because Arsenio was asking them how come there was never a sequel to Coming to America, and they showed a picture, and he was like, wow, look at us. He's like, you know, we still look the same.
Yeah.
We're pretty close. He goes, if you go 25 years to some people, time hasn't been so kind, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 years it's such a leap in everything that we look at and we know of right now. And it could do a lot to a person's body and knees and back and elbows and digestive system and eyes.
He's speaking about himself.
Hair temples and
hair in your ears and your nose.
Yeah. Nose hairs, and toe hair, and knuckle hair, and a lot of stuff. Changes in 25 years. God help us. But Eddie Murphy is a true talent, people, and you have to recognize that. And one of the things I got off track. How many times have I gone off track, people?
A few.
But if you've had a conversation with me in real life, that's how the conversations go. You know, I could just bring something up that we talked about 20 minutes ago, and people always take a double look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Huh? I said that like 20 minutes ago. That's who I am. That's what I am. That's American Riddle. But just watching Eddie, just those little flashes of genius you would see. He'd say something. He'd say something in the African tone in Coming to America, or he would say something in one of his jokes. Anything that he said in that body of work in that interview was just a flash of genius.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pro, right? He knows how to turn it on and off whenever.
And he's a musician.
Yeah, I saw that part when he was like, "So how long have you been playing the guitar?" And he goes, "Come on, man.
Yeah, you know me.
You know how? Yeah, you know me. You know
I
how
didn't
long
know
I've
he
been
played
playing.
The guitar.
No, and that's what he was saying. He's like, the audience doesn't know, mm-hmm. you know. So let's
and I watched
them
the
know.
Video, and the video is very spiritual.
I saw that with Snoop.
I had to turn my eyes off, you know, close my eyes and listen to it. And it is a nice song, very you know spiritual, almost a religious song, but very well done, and you know. It's hard for me because I see him as Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like party all the time, you know, it's just, all right, Eddie, do your thing. But he did say he may return to stand up. I think he's putting together a show, kind of like a stand up show where there's skits and stuff like that.
That's
and music
cool.
acts
That's
and
exciting.
Stuff. And Stevie Wonder's going to be involved in it. And so there's,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So watch that interview. And I think it's a treat for some of the longtime fans of Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. And it, like I said, it shows you there are talented people out there today. And I'm not, you know, one of these old guys that just, today, Sinatra's day.
Sometimes,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes you do
yeah,
sound
I do.
Like that.
Yeah, I'm a little
let's be real.
Jaded and bitter. But at the same time... You know, it's like when I was talking to Darwin, the fashion guru from last week's show, American Riddle, I think it was episode 48.
Ooh, already.
I think it was 48. You know, he watched I Love Lucy, and he sees where the new sitcoms get their stuff. Like maybe the sitcom...
Two Broke Girls,
yeah. I haven't watched it yet, people, but I watched a few minutes of it, and I like what I see. It's kind of that throwback, old school television, I guess, comedic sitcom. Kind of reminds me of Three's Company-ish.
Yeah, a little bit.
Style or whatever. I mean, I don't watch a lot of sitcoms anymore, so there may be a multitude of them out there. Mm. But this one, I just by watching a good 2 minutes of it, I could feel the vibe of it. It's definitely more of a chick flick television show, maybe, but I enjoyed it. I mean, it had, like they all had nice boobs and nice appearances. I like that.
Of course, you do.
Titties. You know, hey, they seemed happy.
Well, Whitney Cummings writes for it and produces it.
Whitney Cummings.
So she's pretty funny. She's a pretty good writer.
There are great ones out there. You know, women.
There's some.
They've come a long way.
There are some because I know you're not a big fan of women comedians.
No, that's not true. See, you're putting that out there. Some of my favorite comedians are women.
Yeah. Well, you said what did you say?
That doesn't even sound right, though. Some of my favorite comedians are women.
Why does that not sound right?
No, I mean it sounds doesn't you know? I love comedians from all walks of races and creeds, all nations.
Becoming very defensive.
But there are. I don't look at.
You were hating on women comedians.
How can I say this? I don't... I guess I'm a typical, I guess, man. I see women, I guess. I see
Go
women
on,
as sexual I'm objects. I'm going to dig myself in deep.
Yep.
No, I don't see... I see there are funny people from I guess, every... The two sexes produce good women. I'm getting nervous here, people.
I put
you
on the
spot. I kill you. Know your place, woman. How dare you bring this subject up. Yes, I think the majority of men out there outweigh everything that's being produced and promoted and it's done by women. Now, does that mean that the system is out of focus or balance? There's more men. It's just like any other field where it was dominated by men. Could be sports, could be television, could be news, radio. But times have changed, and within that, in that employment, what
He's
am I
so
talking
nervous.
About here? Yeah, it's, what the fuck are you doing here? Women are funny. There are more men. I think
I'm
I like.
I'm so glad I put you on the spot like that. I've never seen you be so like.
Yeah, you think I have
twisted?
Yeah, you think I have a live audience or something like this? Here you go, guys. No, I've been a big fan of women since Lucille Ball. I like Kristen Wiig. Hmm. I like the SNL. I'm not good with names. Jesus, I'm gonna edit this shit out. The first time I'm going to cut some stuff out. No, I won't do that, people. I give you the raw, the real. You heard it here. I make no apologies for this. There's not tons, so I can't say tons. If I can't spit off the names like I do a Corolla or Rogan or Diaz or, you know what I mean?
But I'm going to look into that, how many women have their own podcasts and things like that.
There are some.
It's got to be
quite some. There's a whole slew of them, but it's really which ones, when it comes down to it, to any art form, is which ones talk to you. And there's been few that actually talk to me. Now, do I give them an opportune chance to talk to me? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'm biased. I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm sexist. Is that the word?
I don't think you're that sexist.
I'm old school.
Yes, you are old school. You know, so there's some sexism in.
But that doesn't mean that's right or wrong, though. You can't say
it's just,
you know, it's like
culture. It's just like the
racist or something like that. You don't say, oh, he's old school, and that gives him a pass. That doesn't give him a pass. That makes him ignorant. So I could be ignorant when it comes to.
Just got to open your mind a little bit to more women comedians out there.
No, I am to a greater or lesser degree. I lost my page.
Your Bell chick.
This one I like. Yeah. Wood Bell. I mean, I like Melissa McCarthy. I mean, she is someone that embodies, I think, all that is great about slapstick comedy and
yeah, you comedic, said she was going to go far.
And comedic timing. And that's one of the reasons I liked Pitch Perfect, because it was comedic elements in there where it took really good timing for slapstick humor and stuff like that. And that's what I grew up on. I grew up on Lucille Ball. I grew up watching Laverne and Shirley. I grew up watching The Three Stooges. And all of that is slapstick humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I like stuff like that. And Tina Fey.
She's a great writer.
She's one of my favorites. There's also Joan Cusack. Joan Cusack, she is a darling to me that I've watched for years. And I just like to see her in a room.
Me too.
I don't know what it
Whatever
is.
Whatever she's in,
and
I
she's
love
just,
her.
She's just not in enough stuff for me.
No.
She just is not in enough stuff. She reminds me of Lucille Ball. Like when I saw her on, she had a sitcom for a while, and she was someone that
what sitcom? She had a sitcom?
It was a long time ago, like Joan or.
Oh, really?
Everyone, yeah, something Joan. I don't know, but just the fact that she had one, it was brief. I wanted her to,
to shine.
To be everywhere. And again, it goes back to. What I was saying was that you're looking at a male dominated business, which is show business. Where in show business, how do they showcase women as sex objects? That's just been this since the beginning of time. Now, is that right? No, who's changing that? Kristen Wiig, Lake Bell. Lake Bell is a
That's
great.
What I'm talking about. Yeah,
I'm gonna go back to Lake Bell every time. I even sent her a tweet. I have a crush on you. She's probably like, "You're weird, motherfucker. Get off my Twitter feed." You know, but in an innocent way, it's just the same way as Joan Cusack or anyone else. You know, it's just when I see them, they have a special place. You know, with me, and I think millions of other viewers, and they know this, but at the same time, they're still trying to work hard and break down that glass ceiling.
Yep.
Because they know that for so many years, it's been dominated by, you know, males. And like Lake Bell, the movie that she did, In Another World, just the trailer alone, that industry, the voiceover work is So, I mean, I've never heard a woman narrate a trailer, you know? Mm. Have you?
Not that I can remember. We were talking about announcers and stuff and how Arsenio has a woman announcer. But it's getting there, little by little. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. You're adapting, too, so I have hope.
No, it's true. No, I'm not...
I know, I'm joking. I'm making it worse
dare.
Than it is.
Julia really Louis-Dreyfus is one of my favorite comedic actors. I like her. I got to look it up online. It's more podcast-itis. Amy Poehler, you know. I mean, there's tons from Saturday Night Live. I think Saturday Night Live is a great example.
Yeah.
Probably the the leader of or leading the forefront in the promotion of genius comedians.
It's hard.
That are women out there in the past, I guess, 20 years, right? I mean, it's there's few. It
gives more women chances than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, there are few out there that actually make it, you know, to the top. And, of course, you know, the Tina Fey's of the world are few and far between. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so are the Eddie Murphys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll get, for every Eddie Murphy, Kristen Wiig, Tina Fey, you'll get thousands of imitators. Yeah. And that's what the market is flooded with. And that's my point with the Eddie Murphy comment, part in this segment, is there are thousands, tens of thousands probably, that flood the market. And this is what you have. This is the product that they're feeding us. You know what I mean? And they're all imitators. You know, every TV show, every reality show, every movie that's out there, it's someone imitating Eddie Murphy in his prime. It's someone imitating, you know, the Tina Fey's of the world or the Lucille Balls of the world, which is fine because everybody has their influence. But at the same time, to find someone who's that raw or that original.
Authentic. Yeah. There's no authenticism. That's what's lacking.
Yeah. And
originality.
And that's the point I was trying to make with Eddie Murphy. You can see those little flashes of genius. I mean, you see it in any, you know, Kristen Wiig or Tina Fey production. You see those little flashes of genius, and those things don't go away. Mm. Anything that they touch, any project that they emerge, submerge themselves in, you see that. So why were we talking about the women again? Why'd you say that? Women comedians? Forgot.
I don't remember. Get me back on track.
You're trying to put me on the spot. See,
I don't remember why.
I mean, yeah, I mentioned Kristen Wiig's name probably six times. That's the only one I know. but no, the list, I mean, it goes on. I mean, there are tons of comedians, male and female, that I like, but there's few that actually dominate. I think that dominate the.
Well, you're talking about the different specials and things like that on Netflix and HBO and all of that stuff.
Mm. And then there's some that don't work. There's some that can't do it. I mean, like the Lady Gaga Muppet thing that was on over the weekend for the Thanksgiving Day holiday. I mean, it tanked. And it's a reason why. I mean, there's some people. It is so difficult to do comedy or to do something that has comedic elements in it and to make it entertaining. It's not easy.
No.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times these people have you know, doesn't matter how many writers you have, they may have a team of writers writing for you, but if you don't have that timing.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, I think, in comedy.
And you got to, you know, improv, and you've got to do a bunch of stuff, you know, that you can't be taught.
Yeah.
And chemistry.
That's true.
Chemistry, you know, with your other actors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because going back to what I was talking about as far as technology, it's good to see that there are so many different outlets out there that people can put their material out there. And these are just some of the names we mentioned today, people. Those are just some of the famous ones. There are a lot of up-and-comers out there that, you know, that aren't household names, and they're out there grinding it out. So it's a, you know, keep supporting your comedians, people,
do
male
it.
Or female. That's
do it.
That's the moral of the story. There are a lot of ones out there, so don't try to back me into a corner, Mariam Tazi.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? And say I'm old school. You know, I'm a man of the people. There are people out there that can vouch for me. What else is up?
What else is up?
We got my man Spike Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Huh? I almost forgot about that.
Spike Lee is back. And
old
he is,
boy.
That's right. He has a new movie out this holiday season.
Not a very holiday. A very holiday-y, uplifting movie, but.
Old Boy is a, yes, you're right. It's not a uplifting story and probably not the feel-good story. Mariam Tazi is right. Mm-hmm. By Spike Lee. It's Old Boy is a remake of
Old Boy
of Chan-wook Park's movie. I know I probably
pronounced his name wrong. Mm. His 2003 remake of Old Boy. I think is it Korean? I think maybe. I think.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a Korean film. It came out in 2003, and it's about a guy that's imprisoned for 20 years. 20 years and has no idea, no clue why he's imprisoned. And the man that's in prison is played by Josh Brolin. Mm-hmm. And he gets released after those 20 years only to find out that he's in a kind of a cat and mouse game to figure out he has X amount of hours, 48 hours or something like that.
To figure out
why he was kidnapped and you know, all the, I think it's like 3 or 4 questions the guy said. You got to figure out in the nick of time or else,
yeah,
motherfucker, you got to figure this shit out. So, Old Boy, and it's in theaters now. We had a chance to go to get a preview of it, and let's look at the trailer right now.
Is the phone? Hello? Hello? Hey, tell me why I'm in here. Look at me. No.
Get that heart rate. The body of Donna Hawthorne was discovered. The prime suspect, Joseph Doucette, the victim's former husband and father of the surviving child.
Your father's been missing for 20 years. If I could somehow bring him here, do you think you could forgive him?
I could try.
What happened to him?
He showed up last night.
I need your help, Chuck.
I haven't seen the guy in like 20 years.
Who are you?
If you were trying to find your daughter and clear your name, I could help you.
If you would like to see your daughter alive again, answer 2 questions. 1, why did I imprison you for 20 years? And 2, why did I let you go?
You to go.
I don't have a choice. And whoever you are, I will find you.
I only run this place, all right?
Shit, you might want to think about what you're doing here.
I've been thinking about it for the last 20 years.
So, Old Boy, played by Josh Brolin, directed by Spike Lee, remake of the 2003 film. Now, one of the things about this movie is if you've seen the original,
yeah,
right? If you've seen the original, it's going to be very difficult for you to get that out of your head.
Yes.
That was one of the problems I had going into the movie. Did I? Let me just say this, folks, and I won't give any spoilers, but you know, going into it, I kind of wish I hadn't seen the original in some way. But I'm kind of able to wrap my, you know, to delete things from my memory banks.
How convenient.
Yeah, I can do that, people.
It's a skill.
Skills. I got skills. I got lots of skills.
But you still, I couldn't keep it separated. I was watching it and trying to compare the whole time.
Now, is it a film that I liked? I did like it. I liked the film. I can also see why critics are coming down on it, because everyone's associating it with the original. And I remember walking out of the film thinking, you know, why don't they just change the title, or, you know, just change it completely
and just, you know, let people know after it's been released that it was a remake or it's based on this. Because when you say it's Gone with the Wind, people are going to think it's Gone with the Wind. Mm. And it's the remake of Gone with the Wind. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, oh, brother, why art thou? Oh, brother, why art thou out there?
Oh, brother, where art thou?
God damn, people. I can't win. Oh, brother. Is it where art thou?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, brother, where art? I can't say it. My cheeks are too fat. Too much gravy. You know the movie I'm talking about, people. It's based off the Odyssey, right?
Right.
Okay. It's not called the Odyssey because if you thought that it was, you're going into it and you're looking at it and like, what is this version?
Yeah, but I did that too with that.
Did you?
Kind of. And that's why I was like, this is not like the book at all.
I thought it was genius.
I had read the book. It was a tough book to get through as a kid.
I did too. I used to love that era of mythology. One of my...
Oh, yeah. Talk to me about that.
Love everything about that. Just love it and love all takes of it. Or if you call it, you know... If you say something is The Getaway, which probably isn't really a good example, but you're going to think Steve McQueen, The Getaway, not Alec Baldwin, The Getaway. And that probably not the best example because I kind of like the Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger version of that movie. I thought it was a decent remake. But still, you got Steve McQueen. You can't make Enter the Dragon and make Enter the Dragon today. Yeah. Matter of fact, some things just shouldn't be remade. You shouldn't even play with them. Why even play with them? You know, money, I don't know. But I think Spike Lee does a good job. I know his Inside Man, after I watched that movie the first time, I was like, Spike should do more movies like that. Get paid, you know, take on jobs like most directors do, make money, and the money that you make from those films, invest them in the documentaries and the biopics that you want to do. And that's just smart. That's just smart business, I think. You know, I have a funny feeling, like I said, Spike probably doesn't like to dance for the man. You know what I mean? But in these two films that he's done, Inside Man, which was I thought was a phenomenal film, I enjoyed that with Clive Owen, Denzel Washington, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
you like saying his name.
I like Chiwetel.
I know.
And what was the other? Jodie Foster. I mean, you know. That an amazing cast, and he delivered. This one, along the same lines, he's got a great cast, and Josh Brolin delivers. I mean, he comes through. The emotion, the anger, the rage, the sadness.
He's
stripped away from his family. Well, he's divorced anyway, but he had a young daughter, a newborn, and he's stripped away, and he's locked up for 20 years, you know? And he has to figure, when he gets released, he has to figure out which way is up and how to solve this mystery, this cat and mouse game that he's entangled in. And he has a set amount of time. But he does a good job in portraying that and being able to have that transfer onto the screen. His counterpart in this is played by Elizabeth Olsen. It's also Samuel Jackson in it. I can't pronounce this guy's name. What's his name? Sherato Copley. Oof. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, he was in District 9 and Elysium.
That guy's a creepy face.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. He does a good job. And again, you know, without giving any spoilers, it's a cat and mouse game. It's a suspense thriller. I think if this movie was released, if it was made exactly the way it is right now, if it was released in 92, smash hit. Mm. You know what I mean? That late 80s, 92, you know what I mean? But it's got some elements in it that I didn't like this the soundtrack music. And score. Yeah, it was cheesy. It was that 80s, 90s type.
Yeah, it did have
dun,
that
dun,
vibe.
Dun, 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 dun.
But maybe
dun,
it was dun, dun, because dun. It was set in the 90s that it had that vibe.
Could have, but it also had a kind of a David Fincher 7-esque quality to it that I liked a lot.
A
but it didn't
too.
Go... Yeah, it was gritty. But at the same time, it was cheesy, where 7 was just all gritty.
Yeah.
And that's why 7 succeeded with what was his name as a bad guy? Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? This has a quality like that, a very creepy, dirty, gritty, lot of head trauma going on in it.
Throat.
Yeah. It's very, very graphic. So if you're sensitive to a slash throat here and there or bash skull, look out.
Yeah, some of it was tough.
But I think Spike Lee has impressed me with his direction, the way he directs action. He can pull it off.
He
does a lot of quick cuts, which leaves the imagination to wonder. So I believe, this is my prediction about Spike Lee, I think he's got some stuff. I think his best work is in front of him. You know, we look at Spike Lee and we think Do the Right Thing.
I hope. That'd
Crookland, awesome. You know, Clockers. We think Malcolm X, Denzel Washington. One of my favorite films, I met Spike. I have the script, which Spike Lee signed for me. I've sat in screenings next to Spike early on in my film career when I was trying to get to New York at one point in time and met up with Spike, and he invited me to a screening of one of his films. And I've always followed his career, but I've had some issues with the way he's directed films, but always a supporter of his work. He's brilliant. He comes at a time where it was very difficult and is difficult for African Americans to put conscious material out there that isn't a stereotypical, where we're just running around, you know, being portrayed as a lot of films have portrayed us, which I have issues with, because, and that's a whole nother podcast. But yeah. Spike Lee he's shown me that he can direct anything, just with Inside Man and Old Boy.
I'm impressed. I didn't think that would be a genre. I haven't seen Inside Man, but I'm gonna check it out now.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it now.
You need to buy it today and watch it. That should be your movie of the day.
I might.
Holy mackerel!
The way you're talking it up. But I was surprised that he was the one who directed this when I found out. I was like, oh, and then I saw it, and I was impressed. I thought it was really entertaining. I like the original, but I just gotta give it a chance again. If I watch it again, I'll try to block out the first movie.
No, you watched it. That's it. It's not a movie you want to see again. I don't think
it kind of fucks you up.
You know, the whole time. But you know what's funny?
It's disturbing.
What's funny is this.
It's a little different, though.
And I shouldn't talk about this on the podcast, but I will, because I'd like to showcase my genius.
Okay.
The whole time I'm watching this film, I'm thinking a couple few things.
What's that?
Batman.
Oh.
Batman.
You mentioned something after the
Josh
movie.
Brolin was my, I picked him to be the next Dark Knight, I don't know, over a year ago. I said, you know, you always have to think ahead in Hollywood. And I was thinking, you know, people have, I've talked about it online, I've tweeted about it, Facebook has been forums that I've had, who would I'd like to be, you know, everyone's, you can't make a better one than the Dark Knight, blah, 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 blah. Everyone's always talking about, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. It can always, everything can always be better or different or original, a different take on it. That's the beauty of art. Yeah. That's the beauty of the artist and his canvas. Yes. And one of the things... because I am a very creative spirit and have a artistic mind. I saw Josh Brolin as a older, grumpier, you know, jaded, dark Bruce Wayne. And when it came out that they were looking for a new one, that was my top pick. And I even, you know, had message boards about this on Facebook, Malcolm Riddle on Facebook, if you guys want to friend me. I picked Josh Brolin. Okay, Josh Brolin was in the top two, and they went to Ben Affleck, which is, Ben Affleck is fine. You know, if that's the way they want to go, so be it. I dig it. He's a draw. He's a successful director now. He's matured and all that stuff. But just watching this film in the beginning, I was from the beginning of the film to the end of the film, I looked at this film as a what if this was a Batman film. Mm. Every scene, now take everything that you saw in that film and put him in the costume. It would be one hell of a Batman movie. Think about that.
That's kind of true.
With the cheesiness of the music and stuff, it would have been a suspense thriller, and the bad guy would have been, I would have picked that guy to be the Riddler. Because it was riddles, the whole film. You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Think about this. So this is how I was watching the movie.
Huh.
I looked at this movie, kind of weird.
No.
And I don't recommend that everyone go into watching this movie as a Batman graphic novel. But I was looking at it in my eyes, and this is the twisted mind of Malcolm Riddle. I was watching this film as a Batman movie, and I was like, this works. And I took the girl out because I found her annoying, played by Olsen. What was her name?
Elizabeth, I think.
Elizabeth Olsen, which she took about the halfway point of the movie for her to win me over.
She got better towards the end.
In the beginning, she was just cornball. Yeah. But it you know, she was you could see she was reading from the script. She stuck to the script, but she it snowballed and she got better. Forgive her. or the director, really, because it really comes down to the director, how they direct their actors. But it took me a while, and I substituted her as Robin. And I was like, she's Robin, okay? And, you know, I don't know why my mind works this way, but sometimes I'll be doing three or four different things while something is going on in front of me. That could be good or bad. But I'm still there, and I'm there in the moment, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is the way a Batman movie should be, because Batman is present and Batman is man. And who is more manly in Hollywood than Josh Brolin?
Yeah, he's pretty man.
He's a man. He's pretty, you know, manly. What I mean?
He's a man's man.
Yeah, he's like...
He's a dude.
Yeah, he knows how to use a hammer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally, in the movie, he knows how to use a hammer. And when you guys see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But he looks like he knows how to, you know, jump on top of a roof and...
Well, he transforms quite a bit in this film. I mean, the hair and the body and the muscles and everything. But he's 5'10". I just looked it up because he looked a little stubby.
I looked
it
up first thing this morning.
Did he?
Yeah. I looked it up first thing. First thing this morning.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, he looked kind of stubby.
Ben Affleck, 6'4".
So that's why maybe he wouldn't look as good in the Batman suit.
Both of them. I mean, Christian Bale's only about 5'9", 5'10". Fucking
really?
The guy
he
that played
tall. He's leaner though. He's
Tom Hardy, who played Bane, is 5'9", and they were making him look taller.
I
in
guess
the
it's
movie.
All about how you angle
it's
it.
Just camera angles. It's, you know, I mean, they make Tom Cruise look big and tall. He played Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher in the book is like 6'4", 6'5", or something like that. Yeah. But it's not that. It's just it's direction. It's that's the point of
the
movies.
Craft.
Yeah. You know, it's not.
It doesn't have to be actual.
The man is able to, or the actor. Man, male or female, Mariam Tazi, is able to pull off a performance. That's their genius and the director's genius as a filmmaker. But, I was looking at it as that, and you know, it's not that I was distracted by the film. It's just, you know, I did go into the movie with distractions because I, 4 weeks earlier, I saw the original Old Boy and just adored it. And you can find that on Netflix now.
Yeah, it's streaming.
And it is. Probably, it is a wonderful film, but very disturbing and twisted and sadistic. And it's something to say. I love Korean films. I love Japanese films. I love foreign films, French films. There's a lot that I submerge myself into just because some of the stuff that we're being fed here in Hollywood is just saturated green screen, lack of storytelling. And, you know, it's a weird era that we're in right now. So when I do see a movie like this and when something like this comes out, even though it's a remake, it's still refreshing. And I think for some people it's going to be they love it or they hate it. It's not going to be an in-between. Or should I say they'll like it or hate it. I think everyone that was in the theater enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple people that walked out.
Yeah, it's graphic.
No,
it's graphic. Yeah, it moves pretty at a very good pace. And like I said, Spike Lee, I believe that there are going to be some scripts depending on how beat up he's going to get beat up on this film. I mean, right now, just on IMDb, it's getting like a average of 4.5 rating. But don't go by that, people. You know, if you like suspense thrillers and gritty action. It's worth a watch if you're in the theater, it's not for everyone, I don't think.
No.
A weird release for holiday. I think this originally it was slated to come out around Halloween, before Halloween.
That makes more
sense.
And
I think that would have been a better. It's gonna get crucified the holiday season with the Hunger Games and all that stuff out, you know.
Yeah, the timing isn't the best of the release.
Yeah, and that's going to reflect on Spike Lee because it puts kind of a mark on his track record. But I don't think it's going to slow him down because
no, I think he'll be fine.
It shows his ability, like I said, to direct action and suspense. and that type of storytelling, which is difficult to do. So I Spike Lee, in my mind, he could direct a film just as good, you know, as The Departed by Scorsese, which was a remake also. And I believe that there are things out there that there are projects out there that, you know, we're going to see some amazing stuff from him, both on, other productions, things that have been written, whether they're novels or remakes, and or his documentaries, which we talked about, his Mike Tyson Undisputed.
That he was
also
so
did
good.
He also did the Michael Jackson. It was a wasn't there a documentary
the movie,
that
this
he did?
Is it? He didn't do
no
this
no
is
not
it.
Not This Is It, woman.
Like what?
I gotta go into the archives, people. Spike Lee. He did. Man, he's got a array. Let's go here. Bad 25 was the last one he did before Old Boy. And then he did Red Hook Summer, which I don't think I saw that. But you can see he has little projects that he's interested in doing. And I think Hollywood should invest in Spike Lee. I think they should take the time and invest in him. A, because he has star power.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's controversial or
he's
not.
He's out there. Everyone knows him.
Yeah. And he has put his neck on the line, not only for the African community, I guess a good majority for the African American community, but he's the type of guy that what he believes in, you know, he puts 100% in, right or wrong, if you agree with him or not. That's right.
His art.
And he came up in that. Dedicated. He came up in that weird time in the 80s where, like I said.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Brooklyn in the house. Mm-hmm. Where the technology wasn't there. Money wasn't there. It was uphill battle for African Americans. But just independent filmmakers.
Right.
It was difficult. And this was during, film itself is expensive. And it was before the digital age. Mm-hmm. It was before social media. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he made himself relevant with his first film, and his first film was a black and white film. I think it's called She's Gotta Have It, I believe. Yeah, She's Gotta Have It in 1986. And then he did School Days after that, Do the Right Thing. Mo Better Blues, one of my favorite films with Denzel Washington. And the list goes on. But he came up in that time where, if you weren't talented, you just didn't make it in. I mean, it was an uphill battle. So he's made a name for himself. And
hell yeah, he worked hard to get there.
Yeah.
I respect that.
And I think that.
But he's also adapting to the technology and things. He does Kickstarter and things like that. He's putting himself out there.
He's got the power, that type of name recognition where I believe that given the right scripts and the right financing, he can make some amazing films. So I think actually his best days are ahead of him. And we're going to be watching. We're going to be looking at Spike Lee in the future. What else is going on?
Nothing.
Miriam has nothing, people.
I got nothing.
She called me out today. You know what I mean? Made me stop.
Put
and
you on the. You changed positions. You sat up.
made me. Yeah, she made me erect. She put me on the spot, but remember.
I don't even know why it came up, though. I'm going to have to re-listen to this.
It is what it is. That's right. Listen to it and subscribe also, Miriam. You subscribe to this show?
Yeah, I'm subscription. I have a subscription.
What was that?
I'm a subscriber.
There you go. And with that, people, definitely don't get caught off your guard, because Miriam Tazi will throw you under the bus. And don't take anything for granted, because we're only here for a brief moment in time, and while we're here, we need to respect the game, respect yourself, respect female comedians.
Yeah,
and just be thankful for what you have. This holiday season, reflect on that and keep moving forward. Don't give up on your dreams, and the best is yet to come.
Aww.
Domino motherfucker.